It is January 6th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 20:33 hours Eastern Standard Time. Ward Green, very glad to be back with you again today. And it is extremely nice and great to see you again. Ever since the Hyksos had gone out from the northern parts of Egypt, this is chapter 4, paragraph 2 of the C-cubed article, Crucible of Credible Creed, the southern pharaoh had reigned over all Egypt. When the Hyksos had moved their dwelling to the northeast, to the land known today as Syria, Amos the First had pursued and attacked them. And Amos had fought in the south of Egypt, where the Nubians had rebelled against the Egyptian ruler. Amenhotep the First had then received the kingship from his father, Amos, and he was idolized by the Egyptians at his death. Thutmose the First became pharaoh. He was a trained military man. He may have been the brother of Amenhotep the First, but it did not prevent him from marrying his brother's widow and assuming the duties of pharaoh when Amenhotep died without an heir. Thutmose the First defeated a rebellion in the south of Egypt and bore arms from Egypt to beyond the Euphrates River. The Euphrates River is so far north of Egypt, it is said by some, that no other pharaoh had ruled so far north. That concludes our study of the Crucible article for today. Now, little children, our proverb for today is from Proverbs 24 and 6. For by skillful direction you will carry on your war, and in the multitude of counselors there is salvation. And 1 Kings chapter 12. So, I said that in chapter 11 yesterday, that this might be the only scripture which mentions how many years Solomon ruled, but that was incorrect, because 2 Chronicles, I believe it's 9:30 of 2 Chronicles, also mentions that Solomon ruled for 40 years, as it says also in 1 Kings 11:42. And Chronicles are generally, to some extent, a duplication of Kings, the books of Kings and Chronicles, having some, or very much in some cases, correspondence. Just for your information there. Now, 1 Kings 12, so Rehoboam began to be receiving the kingship. And Rehoboam proceeded to go to Shechem. 1 Kings 12 and 1. For it was to Shechem that all Israel came to make him king. And it came about that as soon as Jeroboam the son of Nebat heard of it, while he was yet in Egypt, because he had run off on account of King Solomon, that Jeroboam might dwell in Egypt, then they sent and called him. After that, Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and began to speak to Rehoboam, saying, your father, for his part, made our yoke hard, and as for you, now make the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke that he put upon us lighter, and we shall serve you. At this he said to them, go away for 3 days and return to me. So the people went away, and King Rehoboam began to take counsel with the older men who had continued attending upon Solomon his father while he continued alive, saying, "How are you advising to reply to this people?" Accordingly they spoke to him, saying, "If today you would prove yourself a servant to this people and actually serve them, you must also answer them and speak to them with good words, and they will be bound to become your servants always." However, he left the counsel of the older men with which they had advised him, and he began to take counsel with the young men that had grown up with him, who were the ones attending upon him. And he went on to say to them, "What is it that you are offering in counsel, that we may reply to this people who have spoken to me, saying, 'Make the yoke that your father put upon us lighter'?" In turn, the young men that had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, "This is what you should say to this people who have spoken to you, saying, 'Your father, for his part, made our yoke heavy, but as for you, make it lighter upon us.' This is what you should speak to them: 'My little finger itself will certainly be thicker than my father's hips. And now my father, for his part, loaded upon you a heavy yoke, but I, for my part, shall add to your yoke. My father, for his part, chastised you with whips, but I, for my part, shall chastise you with scourges.'" And Jeroboam and all the people proceeded to come to Rehoboam on the third day, just as the king had spoken, saying, "Return to me on the third day." And the king began to answer the people harshly, and to leave the counsel of the older men who had counseled him. And he went on to speak to them according to the counsel of the young men, saying, "My father, for his part, made your yoke heavy, but I, for my part, shall add to your yoke. My father, for his part, chastised you with whips, but I, for my part, shall chastise you with scourges." And the king did not listen to the people, because the turn of affairs took place at the instance of Jehovah, in order that he might indeed carry out his word that Jehovah had spoken by means of Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. When all Israel got to see that the king had not listened to them, then the people replied to the king, saying, "What share do we have in David? And there is no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your gods, O Israel. Now see to your own house, O David." With that, Israel began to go to their tents. As for the sons of Israel that were dwelling in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam continued to reign over them. Subsequently, King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over those conscripted for forced labor. But all Israel pelted him with stones so that he died, and King Rehoboam himself managed to get up into the chariot to flee to Jerusalem. And the Israelites kept up their revolt against the house of David down to this day. And it came about that as soon as all Israel heard that Jeroboam had returned, they at once sent and called him to the assembly and made him king over all Israel. None became a follower of the house of David except the tribe of Judah by itself. When Rehoboam arrived at Jerusalem, he immediately congregated all the house of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 choice men able-bodied for war, to fight against the house of Israel, so as to bring the kingship back to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Then the word of the true God came to Shemaiah, the man of the true God, saying, "Say to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, the king of Judah, and to all the house of Judah and Benjamin and the rest of the people, this is what Jehovah has said. You must not go up and fight against your brothers, the sons of Israel." This is Shemaiah, the man of the true God, speaking Jehovah's words. "Go back, each one to his house, for it is at the instance of myself that this thing has been brought about." So they obeyed the word of Jehovah and went back home according to the word of Jehovah. But we see there in verse 23, it was Judah and Benjamin, two tribes, that were left remaining under the rulership of Rehoboam. And Jeroboam proceeded to build Shechem in the mountainous region of Ephraim, and to dwell in it. Then he went forth from there and built Penuel. And Jeroboam began to say in his heart, "Now the kingdom will return to the house of David. If this people continues going up to render sacrifices in the house of Jehovah in Jerusalem, the heart of this people will also be bound to return to their lord, Rehoboam, the king of Judah. And they will certainly kill me and return to Rehoboam, the king of Judah." Consequently, the king took counsel and made two golden calves and said to the people, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here is your God, O Israel, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt." Then he placed the one in Bethel and the other he put in Dan. And this thing came to be a cause for sin, and the people began to go before the one as far as Dan. And he began to make a house of high places and to make priests from the people in general who did not happen to be of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam went on to make a festival in the 8th month on the 15th day of the month, like the festival that was in Judah, that he might make offerings upon the altar that he had made in Bethel to sacrifice to the calves that he had made. And he put in attendance at Bethel the priests of the high places that he had made. And he began to make offerings upon the altar that he had made in Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month in the month that he had invented by himself. And he proceeded to make a festival for the sons of Israel and to make offerings upon the altar to make sacrificial smoke. And thus concludes the chapter of 1 Kings, which is called chapter 12. And so, may we proceed reading Ezekiel chapter 14. Little ones, "And men from the elderly ones of Israel proceeded to come to me and sit down before me. Then the word of Jehovah occurred to me, saying, 'Son of man, as regards these men, they have brought up their dungy idols upon their heart, and the stumbling block causing their error they have put in front of their faces. Shall I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak with them, and you must say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. Any man at all of the house of Israel that brings up his dungy idols upon his heart and that places the very stumbling block causing his error in front of his face and that actually comes to the prophet, I, Jehovah, I will let myself be brought to answer him in the matter according to the multitude of his dungy idols for the purpose of catching the house of Israel by their heart, because they have withdrawn themselves from me through their dungy idols, all of them." The two golden calves would be similarly considered idols and worthless in Jehovah's eyes. "Therefore say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. Come back and turn yourselves back from your dungy idols and turn your faces back even from all your detestable things. For any man at all from the house of Israel, or from the alien residents that reside as aliens in Israel, that withdraws himself from following me, and that brings up his dungy idols upon his heart, and that sets the very stumbling block causing his error in front of his face, and that actually comes to the prophet to make inquiry for himself by me, I, Jehovah, I am letting myself be brought to answer him by myself, and I must set my face against that man and place him for a sign and for proverbial sayings, and I must cut him off from the midst of my people, and you people will have to know that I am Jehovah. And as for the prophet, in case he gets fooled and actually speaks a word, I myself, Jehovah, have fooled that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand against him and annihilate him from the midst of my people Israel, and they will have to bear their error. the error of the inquirer will prove to be just the same as the error of the prophet, in order that those of the house of Israel may no more go wandering off from following me, and may no more go defiling themselves with all their transgressions. And they must become my people, and I myself shall become their God, is the utterance of the Sovereign Lord Jehovah. And the word of Jehovah continued to come to me, saying, Son of man, as regards a land, in case it commits a sin against me in acting unfaithfully, I will also stretch out my hand against it and break for it the rods around which ring-shaped loaves are suspended, and I will send upon it famine and cut off from it earthling man and domestic animal. And had these three men proved to be in the midst of it, Noah, Daniel, and Job, they themselves, because of their righteousness, would deliver their soul, is the utterance of the Sovereign Lord Jehovah. Or, if I should make injurious wild beasts pass through the land, and they actually bereaved it of children, and it actually became a desolate waste, without anybody passing through on account of the wild beasts, were these three men in the midst of it, as I am alive, is the utterance of the Sovereign Lord Jehovah, neither sons nor daughters would they deliver. They, only they themselves, would be delivered, and the land itself would become a desolate waste. Or were a sword, were it a sword that I should bring upon that land, and should I actually say, let a sword itself pass through the land, and should I actually cut off from it earthling man and domestic animal? Even were these three men in the midst of it, as I am alive, is the utterance of the Sovereign Lord Jehovah, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they, only they themselves, would be delivered. Or were it pestilence that I should send upon that land, and should I actually pour out my rage upon it with blood, in order to cut off from it earthling man and domestic animal? Even were Noah, Daniel, and Job in the midst of it, as I am alive, is the utterance of the Sovereign Lord Jehovah, neither son nor daughter would they deliver. They themselves, because of their righteousness, would deliver their soul. For this is what the Sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. So too it will be, when there will be my four injurious acts of judgment, sword and famine, and injurious wild beast and pestilence, that I shall actually send upon Jerusalem, in order to cut off from it earthling man and domestic animal. But look, there will certainly be left remaining in it an escaped company, those being brought forth, sons and daughters. Here they are. They are going forth to you people, and you will have to see their way and their dealings, and you will certainly be comforted over the calamity that I shall have brought upon Jerusalem, even all that I shall have brought upon her. And they will certainly comfort you people when you see their way and their dealings, and you will have to know that it was not without cause that I shall have done all that I must do against her, is the utterance of the Sovereign Lord Jehovah. That's the end of Ezekiel chapter 14. And Revelation chapter 6. And I saw, John writes, when the Lamb, who is Jesus, opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice as of thunder, Come! And I saw, and look, a white horse, and the one seated upon it had a bow, and a crown was given him, and he went forth conquering and to complete his conquest. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, Come! And another came forth, a fiery colored horse, and to the one seated upon it there was granted to take peace away from the earth, so that they should slaughter one another, and a great sword was given him. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, Come! And I saw, and look, a black horse, and the one seated upon it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice as if in the midst of the four living creatures say, A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the olive oil and the wine. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." And I saw, and look, a pale horse, and the one seated upon it had the name Death. And Hades was closely following him. And authority was given them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a long sword, and with food shortage, and with deadly plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those slaughtered because of the word of God and because of the witness work that they used to have. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Until when, sovereign Lord, holy and true, are you refraining from judging and avenging our blood upon those who dwell on the earth?" And a white robe was given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little while longer, until the number was filled also of their fellow slaves and their brothers who were about to be killed, as they also had been. And I saw when he opened the sixth seal, and a great earthquake occurred, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the entire moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as when a fig tree, shaken by a high wind, casts its unripe figs. And the heaven departed as a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and every island were removed from their places, and the kings of the earth, and the top-ranking ones, and the military commanders, and the rich and the strong ones, and every slave and every free person hid themselves in the caves and in the rock masses of the mountains. And they keep saying to the mountains and to the rock masses, "Fall over us and hide us from the face of the one seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, because the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" And that is the conclusion of chapter 6 of Revelation. And so we have about 10 minutes remaining in today's video. That concludes our scriptural reading for today. And I hope you enjoyed that. So what are we going to talk about now, I wonder? Well, we could read something of the commentary of Clark, but I'm not sure if we would do that. I think maybe we should talk about, I think certainly we should talk about the article some more. Although I could talk a little bit about nutrition too. I'm learning that there's a certain combination of nutrients and supplements, that is, which include vitamins and minerals and things like, well, iodine, and which is an element, which is a very useful food supplement, but also vitamin B12 and amino acid supplement and glutathione and vitamin E in the D-alpha form, and vitamin D with vitamin K2, very powerful supplement, a very, very, very useful supplement, and vitamin C, unbelievably powerful at wiping out infection, and that would even include preventing food poisoning, which is also an infection. So vitamin C, but in the quantities of 10, or, well, in my case, less than 10 grams. I'm taking yesterday I took 4 grams, but every other day prior to that I had been taking 8 grams of vitamin C. But if your stool becomes loose, you don't take as much, because vitamin C will loosen the stool if you're exceeding your bowel tolerance. So that might mean that I'm getting healthier, and that's why I could only take 4 grams yesterday. But whatever. It's an excellent vitamin, vitamin C. And I take it now with quercetin, which is something that goes along with vitamin C, just as bioflavonoids do also. So I continue to learn more about supplementation, and as long as I feel healthy. This is January 6th. We're approaching, we're getting into the worst time of winter, and I don't feel the real problems that come during that dark period. Typically, I don't feel them so far. I don't have those problems, which is really amazing, remarkable, and surprising even. But it means also that I may be even able to reverse some of my aging. And I believe I already have reversed my aging to some extent, so I'm younger than I should be. That's true. And it's unbelievably good. Like, it's very good. But this is the worst time of winter. We'll have to see what it, you know, what it, what happens as February comes closer, and that's going to be typically the worst time of year. So we'll see if I'm still chipper and healthy at that time. I'm burning a lot of wood these days, and I'm really enjoying that. Having a wood fire is really, really wonderful, because you get to watch how the fire burns, and you get to learn how to build more efficient fires, and all of that is just wonderful. And it's just a question of, you know, or the issue is avoiding the smoke inhalation. But I realized also this year that the way to avoid that is to use the HEPA filters and run the fans on the HEPA filters during the time when there's smoke present, and that is eliminated. HEPA filters eliminate smoke, so my HEPA filters will be able to do a double duty of preventing allergies in allergy season and also eliminating smoke during the winter season when I'm burning wood, and also during the summer when there are forest fires that produce smoke in the atmosphere of the earth in general around where we live. So that's that. The other things I'm taking selenium, and as far as supplements go, boron. I take cod liver oil, and I take krill oil, and I also take 3-6-9 omegas, so those sources of the different omegas. And I'm eating eggs these days now, which is great. It's another new addition to my diet. I'm frying some eggs, and I did make eggnog on one occasion, but I think I might fry them, or maybe I'll even boil some eggs. I'm not afraid of getting food poisoning from the eggs now, because, like, for example, salmonella is a food poisoning, but because of the vitamin C, I won't get infection, because I've never had an infection ever since I learned about taking vitamin C in quantities like several grams per day. So it's just virtually impossible to get an infection. If you can take vitamin C, it's just very, very hard to get an infection. And that includes every infection, including colds and flus and COVID and all that. You just can't get an infection when you take sufficient vitamin C. It's just impossible for your body to get infected. And that's remarkable, and that's something most people don't even know, or they don't believe it. It's hard to believe it, first of all, and then when you do believe it, it just changes your life completely. So that's really, I mean, what else I'm trying to remember? I'm just going through in my mind all the places in my fridge where my supplements are. I take a multivitamin made by Thorne. I only take one of those per day, because I take so many other different supplements. And I take, that's it, I think. I've summarized everything, summed it all up. But there's always something I forget, I guess. Typically there's some extra thing that I take that I can't remember to include on my list. But as far as I know, that's everything I'm taking for supplements. You know, and I take quite a lot of the K2. That's the thing. I take 40 drops of the MK4 with vitamin D in the Thorn formulation, and I also take 12 MK7 form of the vitamin K2 in the gel cap, so that's 12,000 units of vitamin D with that, whereas I'd be taking 20,000 with the MK4 units of vitamin D, so 32,000 units of vitamin D every day is what I'm taking, at least. Plus the extra vitamin D I get from the cod liver oil and things like that. I'm getting a lot of vitamin D, but I'm, because I, oh, there's the other thing. Because I'm distilling my water, I'm controlling my calcium intake. So I can take, you know, a lot less calcium and therefore avoid the problems that vitamin D causes when too much calcium is present with the quantities of vitamin D that I'm taking. So that's one thing I've learned. But I still have to pay attention every day and see whether any problems develop. And then I have to adjust things if there are problems. But it's remarkable how well it seems to be working. The main problem is taking all those supplements and having enough food in my stomach at the time I take the supplements so that they don't feel uncomfortable in my stomach. That's the main issue. Oh, and I take magnesium. That's the other thing. I take magnesium every time I eat something, because a little bit of magnesium every time I have a salad or a bowl of cereal. I take one magnesium in the citrate form, which is 150 milligrams, because magnesium is needed in order, in my case, to facilitate a good solid waste elimination. You know what? I've actually experienced a huge improvement in the fissure in my rectum. It was causing so much discomfort and inflammation, and it's almost healed. Like that rectal fissure is almost healed, which is incredible, as an unbelievably great improvement in my health, because that was so much pain, always pain, continually. Even, you know, just sitting down was painful at times, but it's been wonderfully improved, not just by the magnesium, which I always had to take, but I take less magnesium now, and partly because of the vitamin C, which loosens my bowel. But that was not, I'm certain it wasn't that alone, because I was taking the vitamin C for even before this improvement. The what improved it, I believe, was the omegas combined with all the other, what else did I change? I'm trying to think. Well, the extra vitamin K2. The amount of vitamin K2 I'm taking, and plus the fact I've reduced my calcium by controlling my water, having it be distilled water, that, you know, combined with all the K2 that I'm taking, which is enormously beneficial for health, right? Slightly reduced or greatly reduced calcium intake, increased vitamin D intake, right? And also the vitamin C that I'm taking in 8 grams per day quantities, or 4 grams, whatever it is now, but also, you know, all the good omegas that I'm taking, that together seems to be what's been allowing me to have actually healed somewhat, almost completely healed my rectal fissure, which is unbelievably great. I mean, it's unheard of. It was unheard of by me anyway. That's all for today. I just realized we've run out of time, right on time. It is January 6th. 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 21:07 hours Eastern Standard Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. And this is Gully. And this is Cassie, my two timepieces, on my behalf, saying bye for now.